Hello and welcome to Mental Health Insights. This is the podcast where we break down mental health to make it simple and easy to understand so we can start changing our own mental health and we can start making progress and feeling better. My name is Craig Faust and I am a licensed professional counselor. And today we are going to talk a little bit about depression. Now, depression is a mental health condition. It is a medical condition that causes a whole host of issues. And there is a very large portion of the population that is either suffering from depression right now, or will suffer from depression in the future, or has suffered from depression before and are currently in remission. So, first things first, I use that word remission, and this may be a term that people are used to hearing about, different things like cancer. And that's because depression is something very much that goes into remission, where it might be active, it might be present, and it might go into remission. So someone can, in a way, they can relapse into their depressive state. And there's a whole bunch of complexities that go into depression. So let's start making it simple. So first things first is whenever I'm talking about depression, I want to describe it a little bit. If you're someone that suffered from depression, hopefully you'll identify with this. And if you're someone who is not, hopefully this will kind of help you understand. So depression is like walking around your life with a heavy blanket that's then sprayed down with water. And you're walking around with this heavy, big, cumbersome blanket that's soaking wet. And you're supposed to just go about your day to day. Depression is like falling into a dark hole and not being able to get out. And every time that you expend energy to try to get out, sometimes it just makes things worse. Depression is feeling like you have no energy to do anything. It's feeling like you can't focus on anything. It's feeling so apathetic or even sometimes angry at those around you or the world around you, but still not being able to move, to change things. And no matter how hard you try, it may feel like there's nothing you can do. Depression is a very serious mental health condition. And one of the reasons that it's so serious is because of what alterations happen in the brain whenever whenever depression is really present. So a lot of times people think of mental health conditions as an imbalance in neurotransmitters in the brain or an imbalance of chemicals in the brain. And depression is actually one of the mental health disorders that people kind of get that idea from, because depression, so first things first, there's a lot of different types of depression, and depression can affect people differently. But one of the more common types is a reduction in exposure to serotonin. So what that means, so serotonin is a neurotransmitter that has a lot of cool functions, but just for simplicity's sake, serotonin is a type of balancing type of neurotransmitter. It's a neurotransmitter that helps us stay stable. And what this means is that, and this is the example that I love giving to people the most, is that if I were to get up right now and I stub my toe walking outside the door because I may be clumsy and I hit my toe, one of the first thoughts may be, oh my gosh, this pain is so great. I may curse at myself for my clumsiness. The thing is, if I'm experiencing depression and I have low serotonin regulation or low serotonin levels or low serotonin exposure in my brain, then I may actually have some other thoughts that pile onto that. And those thoughts may be, I can't live like this any longer. I can't keep taking this. This pain is so great. And normally, for a normal human being, serotonin would come and kind of balance out any thoughts that you may have that would lead to kind of self-detriment or would lead to even suicidal thoughts or thoughts that this is going to last forever. And it's a neurotransmitter that helps us kind of recognize that what's happening right now may be really dramatic, or it may not be really true, or maybe kind of off course for what normally happens. So if I'm not experiencing depression and I stub my toe, it may really hurt, but I kind of know that that pain is going to pass. If I'm experiencing depression, I might not have that same type of reaction. Somewhere in my brain, I may know that the pain is going to pass, but this just kind of feels like my everyday life. It feels like that my life is always going to be painful and that I'm always going to be dealing with this for the rest of my life, that I'm always going to be stubbing my toe. I'm always going to experience this pain in some way or another. And normally for a person, whenever we kind of start this downward spiral, which is what depression is, it's a downward spiral, that the brain will kick in and make it so that we level off, so that we can't continue that downward spiral at some point. With depression, there is no stopping the downward spiral. It just continues to go. And usually whenever people get trapped in this downward spiral, that's normally whenever they start to have really self-deprecating or even suicidal type of thoughts. And this is something that's really common in people that experience depression, where they might have some type of suicidal thoughts, and whether or not they're thoughts that they actively want to die, or they're having thoughts like more passively where, you know what, I'd be okay if I got hit by a car, it'd be okay if I wasn't around. These, that kind of indicates where they might be at in that downward spiral. So a lot of people talking about an imbalance in chemicals is in reference to different mental health disorders like depression. However, it can actually be a little more complex than that, because depression can also be a self-fulfilling prophecy in a way. And what I mean by that is not only can maybe serotonin levels be low, but you could actually have serotonin levels that are fine, and you can have fine chemical balance, but there is a fixation or there is recurring type of thoughts around really negative things. So for example, one of the things that my wife talks about whenever we're in the car and we hit a red light, she'll tell me, well, see, every time that we hit a red light, it's because I'm in the car. This is just my luck. And that's a really common pitfall that a lot of people fall into, right? This is just my luck. This is just how my life is. I hit red lights everywhere I go. And if we're going to take that example of what my wife may do in those moments, that's exactly how it is whenever we're experiencing depression, where it feels like everything that could go wrong goes wrong. So we actually start to expect it to go wrong. And when we actually start to expect things to go wrong, and they actually do go wrong, we say, see, I was right. Things always do go wrong. And the brain is really good. You know, this is called confirmation bias. It's really good at noticing things that we believe are true. So if I believe that bad things happen to me, I'm going to take notice of the bad things that happen to me, and I will have a harder time noticing or recognizing the good things that happen to me. And this is one of the reasons that depression can be a self-fulfilling prophecy, because I'm experiencing so much pain and so much tiredness and so much just agitation and not being able to put up with anything that it becomes hard for me not to fall into that type of pitfall. It becomes hard for me not to notice all of the negativity in my life. And for those of you that may know someone that's been depressed, or you've tried to perk them up and point out good things, and this is something that's really hard for them to recognize, well, that's part of what this medical condition does to us, is it makes it hard for us to notice or recognize the good things. And we're getting attacked on all fronts with depression. So not only do we have physical energy loss, so It's hard to do things that would make us feel better, whether or not that's being active, exercising, or eating appropriately. Like, all those things become tremendously difficult, right? If we're parents, taking care of your kids, taking care of yourself, taking care of your spouse, well, whatever that may be, trying to actively participate in your life becomes a huge challenge. So it becomes a lot easier to recognize all the negative things, especially if you haven't suffered from depression your entire life, right? So you can kind of compare how your life was before depression and after depression, and you start to seriously wonder what is wrong. Now, you kind of heard me say that depression is both a mental health condition and it is a medical condition. And the reason is, like I said, there's several different types of depression. And sometimes there is something in your environment that actually affects your mental health or affects your brain in such a way that it causes this mental health condition. So, for example, a slight swelling of the brain can easily lead to something like depression. And for more information on that particular topic, I would recommend you go back to the episode where we talk about how functional medicine can help your mental health. We start to explore some of the actual physical things that can happen to our body that can actually cause different mental health issues. This is something that adds a huge layer of complexity, because you can have some people that may not have these physical or these medical type of issues like swelling of the brain or anything like that. They may not have these types of things, but they may be still suffering from depression for another reason. So that's when I said there are different ways that depression can actually form in somebody. And being able to get an accurate diagnosis is something that's really important, and it's challenging. So sometimes functional medicine doctors can help us rule out if there are any physical issues along with that. So if you're someone that suffers from depression and you tried a lot of different depression medications and it feels like it doesn't work, then there may be something physically wrong with you, and I recommend you go see your doctor or a functional medicine doctor to try to discover some of those things. Now, a lot of this episode is geared around helping us understand depression, and from the part of someone who doesn't suffer from depression, one of the things that they may see, and one of the things they may even say to someone that's depressed is that they are lazy, or they only see the negative, or they are negative Nancy, right? They don't do anything to help themselves. They don't pull themselves up by their bootstraps and just get things done. Or, you know, we may say all kinds of things looking at this. But the way that depression works, and we kind of talked a little bit how it works mentally, I want to talk a little bit how it works physically now. So depression will rob someone of their ability to focus and remain attentive. This is a very common side effect. And a lot of times, people have talked about the over-medication of children and with ADHD and different things like that. And one of the components actually is that some people that get depressed, they actually get misdiagnosed with ADHD, or they get correctly diagnosed with ADHD, but the ADHD is actually a symptom of depression. And that's something that's super important for us to understand, is that resources in the brain are being reallocated whenever we experience depression. And they get reallocated in such a way that it becomes hard for us to focus on things that are going on, because the brain is more sticking to a more survival-based experience of our life around us. Even if we're not in a constant state of threat, it's experiencing a lull in activity. It's experiencing a pain, a suffering that it can't escape from. It's very similar to the freeze response that we experience with trauma, which is another connecting point, is that trauma a lot of times can lead to depression, just as trauma can lead to anxiety. And a lot of times whenever someone's experiencing depression, they're also experiencing anxiety. So I like to talk about a lot of times that depression's kind of married to anxiety in a lot of ways. And not only is depression married to anxiety or anxiety disorders, it can also be married to ADHD. Like I said, they all interplay on each other. Now, this doesn't mean that someone that has ADHD has depression. This does not mean that someone that has anxiety has depression. It just means that there is a very strong correlation between someone that's experiencing depression also suffering from anxiety-related issues and suffering from ADHD-related issues. It becomes hard to focus because your body is constantly in that conservation of energy, which makes it hard to do anything. Like we talked about, doing things that actually makes you feel better. And actually, probably in my opinion, all right, this is my opinion, that one of the most difficult things about depression is it affects your sleep. So you kind of heard us talk in an episode previously about how sleep affects your mental health. And one of the core aspects of mental health that starts to go astray is whenever our sleep is affected. Sleep, 100% of the time, affects our mental health. There is no one that can be robbed of sleep consistently and not develop some type of mental health issue. Now, people may be able to hide their mental health issues really well, or they may be able to, you know, hide or mask, or they may be able to cope with it in different ways really well. But sleep leads to many different mental health issues. And the challenge with depression is that it causes sleep issues. It causes difficulty going to sleep. And it could cause difficulty going to sleep in a couple different ways. It could feel uncomfortable. Or one of the likely things that happens is that it's hard for people to actually go and fall asleep. So the anxiety piece may kick in and the racing mind may take hold, and it's hard just to lay there and get to sleep. It's hard to feel comfortable. And even if you are able to get to sleep, right? So if you're one of the more rare forms of depression where you can sleep, you may end up sleeping too much. And if you're sleeping for like 14 or 16 or 18 hours, then your body actually stays in a depressed state, almost like a comatose type state, where it's actually conserving energy anyway. So as you can see me talking about this, there's a lot of physical things that happen with depression, and there's a lot of mental health related things that are like mental things that end up happening with depression, with how it affects thoughts and how it affects our view of self. And a lot of times whenever people are experiencing depression, it becomes really hard to talk about it because they're in a constant state of pain. And I know I may say that, and it may sound strange, but people that are depressed experience more pain. They have a lower pain tolerance. Mundane things cause more pain, right? Everything that goes into depression is a sentence towards experiencing more more depressive issues. It is probably, out of all of the mental health conditions, that is one of the most frightening because of how it just propels itself, how it builds on itself. And that's why it's so important for us to understand it, because those of us that experience depression really need the help from those that don't experience it as much. We need extra support, and an understanding what's happening is going to be some of the keys to helping someone that experiences depression. So let's actually talk about that. What do you do? Let's say you're listening to this and you said, well, Craig, I have depression. I am experiencing this now. I experience this downward spiral every day. Well, if that's you, first things first, appreciate you actually recognizing that you have this medical condition, this mental health condition. Depression is challenging. However, it's also something that can be, you know, it's something that can be treated. And we have to look at this in a couple different ways. So let's say that you're someone that doesn't like going to the doctor. That's fine. You can really find out how your depression works and how it responds to different things. One of the first things that I would suggest is trying your hand at doing just little things that you know made you feel better before. Now, you may have already tried this, and that's fine. What we want to recognize, though, is if there's any movement, if it feels even good just a little bit. So, for example, if I really enjoyed taking hot bubble baths, then maybe if I'm feeling really depressed, I want to try taking a hot bubble bath again and seeing, did that move me at all? Did that feel good at all? Right? I was feeling with this depression at a -8. But whenever I took that bath, maybe I was feeling a -5. So, you know, it's not great, but it is somewhere. We want to recognize if we can do anything to actually help us feel a little better, to help create some type of movement. Because if we can create some type of movement in that, then we may be able to try to start affecting our depression on our own. Now, if you're experiencing depression, one of the things I would highly recommend is you talk to someone about it. Now, if you have some, you know, supportive people in your life that you can talk to, that's wonderful, because then you could talk to them about it. Because one of the things we have to recognize whenever we experience depression is that we have a jaded view of the world. We have a jaded view of ourselves. And sometimes we have to admit that. We have to say it out loud, right? I am not seeing things clearly and correctly right now. I am not seeing myself clearly and correctly right now. We have to be able to admit that. And we have to be able to rely on other people at times to help us notice whenever that depressive part is really affecting us, right? And I want you to actually think of it like that. The depression's not you. It's something that's affecting you. It's something that, you know, it's no different than if I go ahead and after I get done with this podcast, I go and throw on my backpack that has all my equipment in it. The backpack itself is separate from me, but, you know, whenever I put it on, it feels heavy. It affects my weight. It affects my body because I have it on there. But it is not a part of me. And that's the same way as the depression. It's not a part of you, but it is there and it is affecting you. And sometimes we have to take these steps, right, where we notice, okay, it is affecting me right now. If I am wearing that backpack, I'm not going to be able to move at the same speed that I can without the backpack. So I have to recognize that, well, wait a second. I'm wearing the backpack right now. I can't expect myself to move at the same speed. If I'm wearing that backpack, there's a lot of things I can't do. I can't do a somersault. I can't do a cartwheel. I can't, I can't remember the last time I did a somersault or cartwheel, but those are kind of activities that I can't do. If I'm wearing backpack, I can't lay down in my bed on my back, right? Because it will affect me because the backpack is on my back. So I want us to think about our depression like that too. It's something that is not a part of us, but it's affecting us. Right, it's affecting us in such a way that we can't expect ourselves to do the same type of things whenever we aren't affected by it. So recognizing that and seeing, can I create any type of movement? Because sometimes we can work on, you know, sometimes for us, even just recognizing that, okay, I took a bubble bath and wow, that went from an 8 to a 5. Maybe I can do something else too. You know what else I like doing besides a bubble bath? I like taking a walk around my neighborhood sometimes. Okay, well, that took me from a 5 to like a 4. Okay, so, well, all right, the bubble bath did a little better. All right, what else do I like doing? Well, I like playing ping pong. Okay, well, let me go and play some ping pong. Maybe I'll invite a friend over. Okay, well, that took me from like a 4 to, you know, a 1. Okay, well, you know, it makes it easier for us when we can recognize even those little movements, and that's victory. So many times, those of us that are experiencing depression think of it as, I want to go from that -8 to like a 2 or a 4, right? Where things are just like, okay, and I'm feeling pretty good, and I'm feeling okay. That's not what's going to happen. You have to work on incremental, those little changes, and noticing and recognizing what works. So, if you're sitting here like, okay, Craig talks about support. I don't have support, or there's a lot of people in my life that are just not really great to me, not really nice. That's definitely a time. Or you may feel like there are people that are supportive, but I feel like they're tired of me talking about my depression. that's okay. That's a good time to talk to a counselor. At any time during this, if you experience depression, it's definitely a good time to talk to a counselor or a therapist. And just being able to have that person to talk to and being able to vent or being able to express yourself and being able to have someone that's going to celebrate the victory, somebody that's going to help walk you through that kind of recovery process that we're looking for is going to be a big deal. And if you have that type of support in your life, you might not need a counselor in the same capacity as someone that knows that they don't have someone in their life that's going to help walk them through this. That's where a counselor is really great for you. Now, let's say that you're someone that, hey, Craig, I've tried this. Nothing feels good. I feel completely numb all the time. Or just nothing feels good. I can't even eat my favorite meal. I can't do my favorite things. Nothing does this. Okay, that's whenever there's more than likely more things are going on, right? That there may be, you may be at the really bottom of that downward spiral where you're thinking about suicide all the time. Or you may be at a place where medically and physically your body is not in a good spot. And that's when it's a good time to go talk to a psychiatrist or go talk to a medical doctor or functional medicine doctor to try to find out things that are going on. It's important for you to know that if you're listening to this and you're experiencing depression, that this is not how things are supposed to be. You may have had depression for a long time, and you may be used to experiencing this, and you may think that this is your normal, this is your new normal, but that's not how human beings are actually designed. We are not designed to feel bad all the time, to experience pain all the time. And because of that, because that's actually not how we're designed, that's actually the thing that can lead us out of depression. Being able to find out what are some of the causes of this, right? And maybe if nothing helps you feel even the slightest bit better, that means that there's a medical issue going on, or that means that getting on some type of medications for your depression, getting on, you know, seeing some type of medical doctor to exploring other types of issues that may be going on is something that's super important. This is where the extra support comes in too, right? Because if you have people that are supportive in your life, then they'll be able to help you whenever you're feeling really bad. You don't want to go to the doctor. You don't want to take your medications or anything to really be able to help you. And that's the thing, is that for depression, since there's so many different types, we have to try to make it simple. If there's nothing we can do to help us feel better, talking to people, being around people, doing things that helped us before, help us feel good even before the depression, none of those things are registering. That means that we have to do something else. It doesn't mean that there's no hope. It just means that you may have a different type of depression. Maybe you have a depression that would hugely benefit from medication. A lot of times, depression can be improved with medication. Maybe you take the medication. Medication isn't working for you. Well, there may be a physical thing that's going on, and you have to find a doctor that's going to be able to help you locate and identify that physical part, right? You may go to your medical doctor, and the medical doctor maybe go see a psychiatrist, and you're like, oh gosh, I've already seen so many psychiatrists. Then you may want to consider a functional medicine doctor that may look at things a little bit differently, and they may test for different things that traditional medicine may not. For you, it's so important to know that your depression is not you. That's not the rest of your life. That's not how your life is supposed to be. That's not the way that your life has to be. So many people, so many of us get caught in this depression, and it feels like this loop that's just there. It's just playing again, this movie that's playing again and again, and we feel like this is going to be our life. That we don't recognize that that's actually not the case. That isn't how it has to be. So being able to recognize that your depression is not you. And for those of you that are listening to this, it's important for you to recognize too that people that you love or care about that may be suffering from depression, they may think that this is them. This is just their life. It's important for you to try to be there and try to support them. Whether or not it's trying to help them feel good and just little ways and or just to talk and just to be there with them, or even just to encourage them to continue the pursuit of being healthy. It's hard. It is difficult. Depression is one of the worst mental health disorders because of how it affects our thinking, it affects our energy levels, it affects so many different things. It's devastating. So, like for us, being able to understand this as both like a mental health issue and a medical issue, right? Whenever you're kind of trying to get an idea of your own depression, you have to be open to the idea that if it is a physical issue, you may need some type of medication from a psychiatrist. You may need to go see a doctor. There are so many people that may be against medications, but the truth is that for a lot of people that experience different type of depression, they may not even be on medication their whole life. It may just be getting things back to normal so that they can address some of the things that are actually causing the depression, and then they're good. Right? It isn't something that they have to take for their whole life. It isn't a new thing that they have to deal with for their whole life. And then depression goes into remission. Now, just like most different, most types of mental health disorders, things that go into remission can trigger again. And you may be listening to this, and maybe this is you. Like, your depression got better, and now it's back, and now it's worse, and it sucks. And that's important, because if you've seen the depression go away at some point, you may already have a little bit of a roadmap of what works for you. But you also may need to recognize that if that roadmap that you've used before to help you through it isn't working, then you may be experiencing a different type of depression. That's completely normal, right? And we need to open our mind, and we need to open our ways of defining how things affect us, so we can recognize that there are more options and opportunities for us to improve our mental health. It's really hard being someone that not only is affected by depression, but it's also really hard to see someone that sees a loved one or someone that they care about, or someone that they may even just be acquaintances with. It's hard to see people affected by depression. It's difficult, and a lot of times people just don't know what to say or don't know what to do. And most of it is just, you don't have to say or do anything. Just being with the person and supporting them the best you can is the best that you can do, and encouraging them, right, the best that you can. And for those of us that do suffer from depression, recognizing that not only, A, we have depression, but B, recognizing that depression is like a backpack on us. And it weighs us down and affects us, and it makes us so that we can't do things the same way we did. But it is not a part of us. It is not how we are supposed to normally function. And because that's the case, then we can affect it. We can do different things to it. So I hope that this episode was helpful for those of you that both suffer from depression and those of you that want to help other people with depression that you may love or care about or know with depression. Just give you an idea and help the understanding and breaking down of depression to make it less complex and give you more actionable steps. Thank you for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed this episode, I would ask that you go to whatever app that you're listening to this on and give us a review, so that other people that want to learn about mental health and want to make it go from complex to simple can find us, and they can benefit from this information as well. Again, thank you for listening, and until next time, I wish you well. Thank you for listening to our show. This podcast is designed to provide accurate and reliable information, and those that appear on the show are all licensed professionals in the area of mental health counseling. We are in no way rendering legal or medical advice, only information to help serve you better in making decisions in your life. If you need a professional, you should find one. The music you are listening to is called Lobby Time, and that is by Kevin MacLeod and licensed through Creative Commons.